Hi there, and welcome to the Smart Witch podcast, and thank you so much for joining me today. And today I'm excited because we are doing the first tarot immersion that we've done in a really long time. We haven't done one of these since the very beginning of this podcast's conception with the, I think it was episode 2, the tarot immersion that I did on the Nine of Wands, which is one of my favorite cards, I would say, certainly one of my favorite minors. But today we are going to talk about another minor arcana card, and it's one that has recently become really important in my life personally. It's also the card that I actually pulled for this week at the time of my recording for my weekly newsletter, which if you're not subscribed to that, the link will be posted down below for you to get yourself on my mailing list. It's a really fun way to stay in touch throughout the week. And every week I have this really consistent practice in which I pull a card for just kind of the collective, for the energies that are available to us for that week, for the kind of archetypes that we are well advised to embody for that week to have our best week and to just live our best lives during that specific period of time, face the challenges that come up, that sort of thing. And what's really interesting is that this is the card, the card that we're going to discuss today, that I pulled for us collectively for this week. And then a few days after, I actually used a different deck entirely. The Six of Pentacles was actually already on my altar displayed because every time I pull our card for the collective for the week, I leave it out on my altar, usually for the whole week, because I am a really big fan of sitting with readings after I perform them, whether they're for myself or for someone else or for the larger collective. For the newsletter, regardless, I always like to leave the card displayed. A lot of times I'll actually make it the screensaver on my phone. Sometimes I'll make it the wallpaper on my laptop. I really just like to surround myself with the images and symbols associated with that card because I think that really does help us not only remember to actively engage with those energies, but also sometimes new messages or insights will come in if we spend some time looking at the card. So the Six of Pentacles was actually already displayed on my altar from the deck that I had pulled it from. And then I used my Modern Witch Tarot to pull a card for myself because at the time I was actually just kind of feeling down. And it was one of those moments where I'm sure that you can relate, where everything in my life was fine. You know, certainly there's challenges at this time, I would say, that are happening, but the way that I was feeling didn't really feel related to any one particular thing. And I'm honestly a pretty strong believer that even though things are always going to be in a state of flux and there's always going to be challenges, and rarely is life ever exactly how we would have it in a perfect world, but all of that aside, if we're feeling high vibrational, we're usually going to be able to gracefully handle, and not just handle, but welcome challenges, conflict, tension, and really just sort of let that stuff bounce off of us and really welcome it as opportunities to grow. And I could tell that I was just feeling not so good. And it felt really internal. It didn't feel like, you know, obvious to me what was causing this feeling of just sort of dis-ease, I would call it. And so it was one of those times where and I actually talk about this in the most recent podcast episode I did, where I talk all about how to sort of frame and articulate questions for the tarot. One of my favorite questions is if I'm having one of those murky moments where I'm feeling a way that I don't like, and I don't know exactly what's going on or how I'm feeling or what I'm feeling or why I'm feeling this way, I'll literally pull a card and just ask, like, what is going on? What's going on with me right now? And even though that question kind of sounds vague, the tarot, especially now, I would say, because I've had such an established practice at this point, the tarot understands how I'm feeling and will be able to respond with an accurate answer. And this was the card that came up. It was the Six of Pentacles. And so to pull a card twice back to back from two different decks, and I still have them both on my tarot altar at this time in my living room, just felt really powerful. And so this is a card that's really demanding certainly my personal attention, but all of our attention, as it's the card I pulled for the collective for this week. And it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, minor arcana card that there is. And it's a card that's really important to me as a recovery covered codependent, and we're going to talk about that connection in a moment. But I really want to get into that today, just going really deep into the Six of Pentacles, how this is a card that has helped me tremendously in my journey of infusing my relationships and connections from the mailman to my best friends, to my lovers, to my coworkers, with intention and integrity. Because that's really what the Six of Pentacles is all about. And that's not obvious. You might not necessarily see that connection at this time. So I really want to help you understand this card as one that can really help you clean up your relationships. Because as Esther Perel says, our relationships determine the quality of our lives. The quality of our relationships, I should say, determines the quality of our lives. And so if our relationship quality is like not so great, and our relationships are chronically like not that satisfying or even outright stressful, then that is going to affect every single part of our life, from our business to our self-care to the way that we keep our home. And so it's really important that our relationships are clean and healthy and satisfying and feel good for everyone involved. That's obviously the ultimate goal. It doesn't always happen. It's not really, you know, as common sense as we might think. Although a lot of these golden rules that we're going to discuss with the Six of Pentacles are simple, I always say in the podcast that simple concepts don't always necessarily translate in a way that's easy, right? Like just because something is straightforward doesn't mean that it's easy to do and easy to practice. So the Six of Pentacles wisdom, I think, is a really good example of that. But without further ado, let's just get right into this card. And by the way, always with these tarot immersions, we're basing everything that we're discussing here today on a little bit of my personal experience, certainly a lot of field research, but also a lot of other tarot teachers and voices that have contributed to my tarot practice. Chief among them, I would say, are Rachel Pollack, who is the author of 78 Degrees of Wisdom, and also Lindsay Mack, who has a podcast, Tarot for the Wild Soul. She also teaches a class. I've taken actually three of her classes, and I really recommend her. She's a very kind of trailblazing modern voice in the tarot community that's doing something really special. So I always like to give full credit there. Although, honestly, as I said, it really is kind of a culmination of a lot of different books that I've read, and I think most pressingly, experiences that I've had with these cards. So the Six of Pentacles is interesting because it's one of those cards that if you were to Google right now, like, what does the Six of Pentacles mean? Which obviously I think that's a misguided question anyway, but if you were to Google that right now, you would get a very kind of one-dimensional, super surfacey, painfully like superficial response. The Six of Pentacles is typically considered to be a card that either indicates good luck coming to you, or like money coming in from an unexpected place, or that there could be some sort of a benefactor in your life that is, you know, trying to offer you something. And obviously, I think we know if you have a developed tarot practice, you've probably pulled this card in a time where that hasn't necessarily resonated. And I know I certainly have, and I certainly know that this doesn't have anything to do with the kind of question that I asked when I received the Six of Pentacles in my reading just a couple days ago, when I asked the tarot what was going on with me, how I was feeling, and how I could sort of lift myself up and better understand what I was going through. And that was the card I pulled. Money had nothing to do with that. So we really need, in order to come to a rich relationship with the Six of Pentacles, and honestly, the Pentacle suit in general, to divorce ourselves from the idea that the Pentacle suit is strictly and exclusively about money and financial abundance and prosperity, or its lack of evidence in our lives. Like, we need to really separate ourselves from this very old school kind of association, because it really isn't true. Now, that's not to say that the Pentacles can't or never represent energy in the form of money or physical resources, because really, in my opinion and experience, the Pentacles and the tarot represent anything of value. So the Pentacles can be or serve as a stand-in for help, support, assistance, a successfully completed spell. They can represent money. They can represent a compliment. They can represent a service. They can represent anything that we desire, anything that we hold as valuable. And obviously that's subjective, right? Like all of our values are different and our priorities are different and the things that we value are not the same. Obviously there are some universal human values. And I think for that reason, I think this is why the Pentacle suit has become so heavily associated with money, because money and in general, more generally, security, safety is the most human value, I would say. It's something that we all want. It's something that we all crave. It's something that we all desire. And it's something that we all need. We all need to eat. We all need to have shelter from the elements. We all need to feel like we have money coming in. So I think for that reason, something got confused along the way. And the Pentacles have become pretty strictly associated in pop culture tarot conversation with money. And that's, as I said, just a very, very small possibility of what the Pentacles could be serving to represent in, their cards. So we need to remain really open anytime we pull any card from the Pentacle suit, that what's being represented in the card and by the Pentacle is not abundance, is not necessarily money. Although, as I said, it certainly could be. But more often, it is generally something that is valuable, or something that, even more specifically, I think you could say, makes us feel secure. Because there is a security to the Pentacles. The Pentacles is certainly an earthy material suit. And honestly, there's nothing shameful about money. Like, we talk about money on the podcast all the time. I have a whole episode on money magic. So I'm not trying to throw shade as in to say that, you know, money is a toxic energy or the Pentacle suit is, you know, too high vibe to be about money, because I am a material girl. Like, I love to shop. I love to spend money. I love working. I love making money. I love generating income for myself. I have no shame around having conversations about money. And money is really nothing more than an energy. It's an energy that we engage with and interact with all the time. And it's something that we all kind of project our own emotions and beliefs onto. But it is nothing more than an energy stream. So it can certainly be an energy stream that is being symbolized by the Pentacle. But there's so many others. There's so many other energy streams that we function within and interact with as we go about our lives. For example, compliments. Our relationship to a compliment is so different. And compliments are something that for many of us, especially if words of affirmation are your love language, really help us to feel safe and secure in our relationships, for example. So a pentacle in the Pentacle suit can represent anything from money to compliments to a service rendered to a spell completed. So we need to remain really open-minded about that. But now, excuse me, where the Six of Pentacles comes especially into play with this notion of the Pentacle suit as more than money, is that what we see with the Six of Pentacles is a transaction. And a lot of the Pentacles cards are not transactional. And in fact, I believe off the top of my head that this is really the only Pentacles card that is inherently transactional. A lot of the different reimaginations of the Three of Pentacles are group situations, and the original Pamela Coleman Smith illustration depicts a group of people, but I also have a couple decks where the Three of Pentacles is more of a solitary card, so I wouldn't even say that, as much as it does indicate like a group dynamic sort of insight, it's not necessarily inherently a transactional card. And so with the Six of Pentacles, we really do see this act of giving and receiving happening. So for the original Pamela Coleman Smith illustration, what's depicted is a presumably wealthy man who's wearing like these really fancy robes. He's got like a fancy hat on. He's very well dressed. And he's holding in one hand a pair of scales. So immediately we think balance. And in his other hand, he is offering, it looks like it could be food, to a couple of beggars who are kind of on their knees, and they are receiving this form of abundance. And then in the air above this transaction, we see depicted six pentacles. So that's the original Pamela Coleman Smith illustration. And in a lot of the reimaginations of this original image that I have in my different tarot decks, the situation is a lot less grim. Like, one of my favorites is actually from The Witch's Tarot by Ellen Dugan, where we see a man in a green robe and he is giving pentacles to a couple of excited children. And the pentacles in that situation are, in that image rather, are intended to kind of represent coins, where the old man is giving these kids money and they're really excited about it. So there's a lot of different situations that the Six of Pentacles can physically, literally represent, depending on the artist and the creator of the tarot deck. But always we see this kind of transaction where something is being given and something is being received. And that's what we need to really focus, well, I shouldn't say we need, but that's what I advise you to really focus on when we're working with this card. Because the Six of Pentacles, to me, is really the card that teaches us how to develop systems and structures in our lives to ensure that our relationships, connections, interactions, and transactions with other people, as I said, from the surface level, every day, the person who bags your groceries, to your roommates and your lovers and your parents and the people with whom you're really intimately and emotionally acquainted with, the Six of Pentacles can teach us how to create these systems and structures that ensure that these relationships and all of the transactions that occur within them are clean, joyful, satisfying, and in integrity for both parties. And obviously, again, this is like a very lofty goal. But usually, and for me personally, I can certainly say that this is the case. When I pull the Six of Pentacles, I am being reminded of the fact that, as Esther Perel says, and honestly, she's someone that I think, you know, this card is closely related to. It's kind of, in my opinion, like the Esther Perel card. Relationships are a feedback loop. And so whenever I pull the Six of Pentacles, I feel as though I am being reminded, not necessarily scolded or admonished, but I'm being reminded that relationships are a feedback loop. And if something isn't feeling good to me, as it wasn't last week, a couple days ago, when I pulled this card for myself just to get clarity on what I was feeling and why I wasn't feeling super good, the Six of Pentacles arose to tell me and remind me that relationships are a feedback loop, and if my relationships aren't feeling good right now, that's because they're reflecting back at me something that I'm not feeling good about within myself, and that is then being played out. Because the Six of Pentacles also teaches that literally all of our other relationships to people and our relationship to relating in general is very symptomatic and, in fact, directly reflective of the relationship that we have with ourselves. And so, for example, if we struggle to receive from ourselves, then we're probably going to experience a lot of discomfort with receiving from other people, whether sexually, whether gifts, whether compliments. And this is, by the way, something pretty sneaky, and it's something that we almost all struggle with. In fact, I want to say that all of us do. This really is not something that we're taught. We're not taught relational skills and relational intelligence in schools. And honestly, I think we should be. I think we really should be taught relationship theory, certainly more prevalently than what we are. This is really information that we have to actively seek out. But it's important to realize that you might think that you're good at receiving, and maybe you are in certain respects, but unless you've really worked with this wisdom consciously and intentionally, you probably do struggle with it in very sneaky ways. And I honestly consider myself to be a pretty adept, like, goddess at receiving at this point, but even for me, it still comes up, and actually it just came up. So this card is extremely relevant. I actually just got into a new relationship as recently as a couple months ago. I've been seeing this wonderful man who I really absolutely adore, and the relationship is really joyful. It's really exciting. This is the first time I've dated anyone in years that I've been really, really excited about. So I'm feeling really good. I'm vibing off of that. And it's surprising to me how often it is actually difficult for me to receive from him. And I actually have to give myself props because I've come a really long way. And there's times where I'll catch myself receiving in a way that's really beautiful that I know I wouldn't have been able to a couple years ago. And to be honest with you, I don't think that if I didn't do the work that I did over the last couple years with my dating sabbatical, I don't even think I would have been able to call this person into my life. And even if I did attract him, I don't think I would have been able to maintain the bond even for as long as I have, because I was so uncomfortable with receiving just basic respect, affection, love, attention, in a healthy way, in the healthy way that it is currently being offered to me in this relationship. So that is why the Six of Pentacles is so important, because it's in this card and with this card that we learn to create relationships that feel good. And that is so important. We would be kidding ourselves if we deluded ourselves into thinking that we are islands that don't need anyone else. And also, like, it's not even really optional. Like, we are relating to people every single day. Even if you live an essentially secluded, solitary life, you are still engaging with folks. You're still getting services done. You're still probably talking to family members. You're still probably engaging with others on social media, even if it's pretty impersonal. And all of these literal, like, exchanges that are happening throughout the day, when we get our nails done, when we comment on someone's something on Facebook, these count as energetic exchanges that we're having. And so a lot of times we don't really bring intention to these necessarily. And the Six of Pentacles is always, when we pull it, an invitation to pay a little bit closer attention up to this delicate dance that is relating and that is connection. And there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. So I want to kind of break those down. So there's three tenets, in my opinion, to the Six of Pentacles. It really comes down essentially to relationship balance, making sure that there's healthy giving and receiving going on in a dynamic, whether, again, that is a service being rendered to you or a relationship that's intimate and emotional that you're having. So for example, if I go and get my nails done with my amazing manicurist, Tina, then I am paying her to do this service for me. I'm giving her money, and I'm also giving her business, which is fantastic for one's self-esteem when they open a business and people participate and are excited to have the service done. And I would like to think that I'm, you know, pleasant. I'm a good customer. I'm, you know, easy to take care of. And so she's receiving a lot from this interaction, and I am as well, because I'm receiving beautiful nails, and how good does that make me feel when my nails are perfectly manicured? So it sounds silly, but we both walk away from this very simple and very surface level interaction feeling better after, you know, after it's happened, and better than we did before. And so that's the goal. And then if we look at a more intimate relationship situation, this could be asking for a favor from a loved one. And even in that kind of a situation where it looks like one person might be weak and one person is strong, that's really not necessarily the case, because the Six of Pentacles reminds us that in giving we receive and in receiving we give. And so when we lean on a loved one and allow them to nurture us and allow them to care for us, we are actually giving them a gift. Because think about how good you feel when a loved one lets you be there for them, or when a loved one needs you and you step up and hold space for them. You know how good that makes you feel. And maybe it doesn't make you feel good if they're going through a really hard time, if they're really sick or they're really upset about something. Obviously, you probably feel their pain in those situations, but it does make you feel good to be generous with your love, time, attention, maybe even money in some cases if a friend needs financial support. And so we really do give to others in just allowing them to give to us. Like, that's something that I think I'm struggling with, that's not really the right thing to say, but that's something that I'm working with. That's a concept that I'm really trying to more actively embody as I'm sort of in this new relationship with this wonderful person, and I feel like he is giving to me in a way that a lover never really has, and so I'm really kind of negotiating how to receive this comfortably and joyfully and graciously, and also obviously to continue to give to him in the ways that I know that I can and am excited to. And so that's another example of just sort of Six of Pentacles in action, is this sort of emotional giving and receiving, leaning on another for support, and both people then ultimately benefit because one person receives, you know, the support, money, attention, time that they need, and the other person gets a high from an act of generosity. Now, where this gets tricky, because you know it gets tricky, is where we engage in transactions, dynamics, relationships that we don't actually want to be in. And again, like, you might not necessarily think you do this, but I guarantee you, you've done it before. and maybe this is an area where you're especially skilled, but we all do this sometimes where we say yes when we actually mean no, where we feel obligated to help someone even if we don't want to, and even if we maybe need rest, or we maybe feel pressure to give to somebody when we really don't have the resources, whether by resources I mean time, energy, affection, love, money, whatever it is. Like, we all go through seasons in which our cup is really full, in which we're feeling really abundant and we have a lot to give. And then we all go through seasons where we really need to practice boundaries and we really need to protect the resources that we do have because we're a little shaky. Like, that's very normal. Obviously, if your life is just sort of in a season of flourishing, you're having a fantastic relationship, you're making tons of money at work, you are living in your dream home, like everything is going right, you probably have a lot to give of yourself during that time, right? And you can probably, you know, allow your cup to spill out and over and support others in a way that maybe you can't when your mom is really sick, or, you know, you've been fired from your job and don't know how you're going to get, you know, your next meal. Obviously, we go through these different seasons and these different periods of time where our emotional availability to others is very, very fluid. It's not always the same. And so our boundaries with people in our lives, we don't just set them once and it's done. Our boundaries change as we change, as our needs change, and as things in our life change us. And so that's something that the Six of Pentacles likes us to be really conscientious about the fact that, you know, we can be a generous person that usually is in a space where we're super able to give, but maybe we're in a season in a particular time where we really just need a mental health day. And so even though a friend invited us to a party, we really can't go. And we have to honor ourselves by saying no. Or even though we really want to squeeze in a client when we're pretty overbooked, we really just have to say no because we don't have the energy and or the time to take care of them, right? So this is always really difficult, saying no. And this is where, by the way, the anti-codependency comes in, because a lot of people actually don't know what the word codependency means, by the way. And if you want to know more about this, because I suspect a lot of you babes listening are similar to me in this way, because I think like attracts like, but I really recommend looking into the work of Terry Cole. She's incredible. She's a psychotherapist. I just took her Real Love Revolution class last year and it changed my life and it changed my outlook on relationships. And she's another figure like Esther Perel that really comes to mind for me when I pull the Six of Pentacles. She has a lot of free videos on YouTube. There's a lot of free ways to connect with her. She's got free guided meditations. So please do look her up if this is sounding resonant with you. But codependency is not what a lot of people think it is. A lot of people think when they hear that word that what's being referred to is like two people in a relationship, whether it's siblings or a romantic relationship or friends that have like an unhealthy attachment to each other. And that's not actually what the true word codependency as a therapist or psychotherapist would use it means. What it actually means is an individual who overfunctions and or overaccommodates in their relationships. And that's because they get off on feeling in control. A lot of times individuals that are codependent in their relationships are badass babes in life that just get shit done. They're career people. They run businesses. They're successful CEOs. They're the best person at their place of work because they have this super efficient way of working their lives. But then in relationships, we often forget that it's kind of a different set of rules, right? Like, we don't necessarily want to bring the badass babe CEO energy into our relationship with our lover. Maybe sometimes we do. And in fact, certainly sometimes we probably do. But that being said, like, we don't want to, you know, approach our relationship as we do our job, as we do something that we want control over, because relationships don't offer control. And a lot of times, codependents are individuals who get into relationships with quote-unquote projects, with people in whom they see potential, but who chronically fail to give them what they really do want. They're people that are, you know, either addicts or narcissistic or just essentially unavailable and disrespectful. And we do this because, again, it's all about that sense of control. We like the control, and so we choose someone who we feel we can kind of essentially manipulate. And so even though it's a savior complex, we're actually doing everybody involved a disservice when we enter into this kind of a victim, martyr, codependent, narcissistic relationship, because neither person benefits. And even though the codependent looks like the one that's being victimized, we're actually entering into the relationship in an unclean way that's not really in integrity, because our hope is essentially to just get a hit and a high off of controlling another person and fixing them. And that's never good intentions in which to enter into a relationship, right? We don't ever want to get into a relationship with someone on the grounds that they will change or that we will change them. That's extremely backwards. We want to get into a space of taking people and accepting contracts as they are. And so that's, again, a wisdom of the Six of Pentacles, which is why if you are either working through codependency yourself or consider yourself a recovered codependent, as I do, then the Six of Pentacles is definitely a very powerful talisman for you. And when you pull it, you might be being reminded that maybe some old codependent tendencies come up, because even though I consider myself to be a pretty fully recovered codependent in the sense that I'm super aware when that shit sneaks up on me now and I can pretty much just nip it right in the bud, that instinct is still there. That instinct to fix, that instinct to over-accommodate, that instinct to overgive and give resentfully, that still creeps up in my relationship, even with my amazing man that I'm dating right now. So that's fine. Like, it never fully goes away, but we just need to take responsibility, be aware of it, and be like, no. And so that's why the Six of Pentacles is so powerful if you're that kind of relating style, because it will totally call you out and you can just kind of realize that that's what's happening and regroup. And so that's why it is definitely one of my all-time favorite cards. So that's one way, though, in which relational dynamics can become tricky. When we say yes, when we really mean no, / when we over-accommodate, or when we give, but we give resentfully because we don't actually want to. And so someone might ask us for something, we feel obligated to say yes because we want them to like us, which is essentially a manipulation, right? So really it's self-serving to say yes when we mean no, because we're not even doing it for them most of the time. We're doing it because we want them to think of us in a certain way. And so we really need to, when the Six of Pentacles comes up, think about whether or not we are overgiving of ourselves with respect to the season that we are currently in at the time. And then another way that the Six of Pentacles comes up, and this is closely related, is just to let us know that it's time to up our boundary game a little bit. And that's, you know, closely related, because boundaries is what prevents this kind of dysfunctional overgiving / giving resentfully dynamic. Because if we have ironclad boundaries, then we're able to gracefully and respectfully decline a kind of situation that we don't necessarily want to be in. We're able to comfortably say no. We're able to protect ourselves from disrespect. We're able to, you know, decline offers, invitations, contracts, relationship offers that don't feel in alignment. And that's really, really important. Again, not just for us, but for the other person as well. So a lot of times when we pull Six of Pentacles, we're being invited to really up our boundary game. And for me, like, this is something, again, that Terry Cole really helped me with. I actually sat down at one point in taking her Real Love Revolution course and wrote out what I called a bad bitch bill of rights for myself. And it literally was just a list of fundamental rights that at that moment I knew I was claiming permanently. And that list contained a few that I honestly hadn't been functioning within. Like, as a codependent at the time, it didn't occur to me that I have fundamental rights to privacy, that I have a fundamental right not to respond to a text message that feels confrontational. I have a fundamental right to be alone if I feel like it. I have the fundamental right to leave a situation or a conversation that feels like it's getting uncomfortable or like I'm, you know, being attacked or like it's getting toxic or negative. Like we have these fundamental rights to keep ourselves emotionally protected. And I think we know, obviously, that we have instinctive and innate rights to feel secure physically, but we do forget that we have rights to our emotional safety and protection as well. And the Six of Pentacles can be really powerful in calling us on that and reminding us that we do have these rights. And again, it's not just about us, because when we say yes, when we mean no, when we enable other people's disrespectful behaviors by answering a belligerent text message or something like that, then we really are initiating a dynamic and a transaction that is toxic for both parties. And another thing, another wisdom of the Six of Pentacles is that if a dynamic or relationship is not good for both people, then it's not good for either person. And so you have to think of it like that. If you ever feel like you're being depleted in a relationship, like someone is taking advantage of you, you have to immediately check yourself and understand that this could not be happening, first of all, without your full participation and permission, because people can't take advantage of us if we don't let them. It really is that simple. Again, not saying it's easy, but it is simple to seal up our aura, say no, and not let people fuck with us, right? It's simple. And second of all, they also would not be taking advantage of us if, you know, we were also kind of looking out for them and not enabling them to do that. Because when we enable people in their bad behaviors, and again, I'm talking, obviously everyone's capable of being a dick every now and then, but what I'm talking about are people who are chronically abusive. And I have been in relationships, by the way, where people were chronically abusive, not physically, but emotionally, certainly. And again, like I have to take full responsibility for the fact that these were relationships that I not only chose but remained in. And so I enabled their behavior by remaining in the relationship to begin with, by tolerating the various forms of disrespect and verbal abuse. And in doing that, not only was I obviously, you know, self-destructive, but I also was teaching this person that it's okay to treat others like that. And that does them a disservice, and it also does everyone else that they encounter and later date a disservice. So really, when you think about it, we have to approach these our relationships from such a space of integrity for both people. And if we're feeling drained, if we're feeling abused, if we're feeling mistreated or taken advantage of, then if that alone isn't enough to get us to leave the transaction, which hopefully it is, then we really should think about the fact that if it's not good for us, then we're not doing that person any favors either. And another really good example of that is someone who is, you know, has any kind of an abusive pattern or an addiction where, you know, I see it a lot with moms and kids in my practice, mothers who enable their children by kind of doing things for them that are situationally not appropriate for the age of the child. Like literally where I actually dated a man once that was at the time, I think he was like 21, 22, something like that. And his mom was a very lovely woman. We actually were very close, but she was really inappropriate. Like she would literally come over and like clean the freezer for him because he was too lazy. She would bring him food, but like not in a like occasional sweet mom kind of way. It was like a, she knew he just wouldn't cook for himself because he was literally too lazy. So she would just like bring him food all the time, even though they literally were living in separate residences. He was making his own money, working his own job. Like there was a really obvious boundary issue that actually then affected our relationship and ultimately contributed to its organic conclusion. But anyway, so that's something that's really important to think about is, you know, we're not being a savior when we are in a relationship in which we're being mistreated or depleted or abused or, you know, enabled. No matter what it looks like, and it can look like either extreme. If we're in a dynamic that feels like that, then the Six of Pentacles wants us to create some boundaries and do what we need to do to get out of it altogether or to sort of negotiate and find a way to infuse the relationship with intention, integrity, responsibility, and boundaries, most importantly. And then another, like the third, I would say, tenet of the Six of Pentacles, in addition to boundaries and just not over accommodating, is being generous and knowing when we are in a season of being generous. And honestly, what's funny about this is that this is not, in my experience, what people struggle with. People typically love to be generous. Rarely do I work with clients that have a hard time giving of themselves. But the flip coin, just like there's like a flip, there's like two ends of the spectrum with the giving and receiving. The flip side of being generous is allowing ourselves to then receive generosity from other people. And so that's something that the Six of Pentacles really wants us to examine as well. Because if we are in a space with ourselves where we are not comfortable receiving from other people, then our relationships are going to be chronically dissatisfying because no amount of love, time, pleasure, attention, gifts, compliments, admiration will ever be enough because we're not accepting it. We're not taking it in. And again, not only is this hurtful and self-destructive to ourselves, but it's also very hurtful to the other person because when people offer to do something for us, this is something that I learned just recently. Actually, not true. I learned it last year. From Terry Cole. When people offer to do something for us or try to be of service to us and we decline and say no, or if they give us a compliment or tell us, you know, something that's flattering and we argue with them. Have you ever done that? Because that's my signature move. Or actually, I'm no longer co-signing that story, but it used to be my signature move to become really uncomfortable if someone would compliment my outfit. I would, you know, insist that I got it on sale, like, and it was super old and didn't fit me anymore. Or if someone complimented my beauty, I would say that I got a new concealer. And I would literally make shit up just to sound like I was deflecting. Or even in some cases, I would argue with them. And say, no, like, I don't look good. I didn't sleep good last night. Like, I was just so uncomfortable smiling and saying thank you to any sort of a compliment that referred to my physicality or beauty in any way. And so when we do that, Terry Cole actually always says that it's almost akin to being handed a gift and then just stomping on it. Taking the gift and stomping on it. And I don't know, that is perhaps a little extreme, but I do think that when someone offers something of themselves, whether again, it's help, that we genuinely need, because obviously there is a difference between someone that's overstepping and that's like offering advice or something when we don't want it and haven't asked for it. And that's certainly not what I'm talking about here. What I am talking about is someone that's offering us assistance that we need, that we genuinely need, whether that's a check. When you really are in a space of financial disparity and a loving friend who is, you know, well off is genuinely offering you a loan, that's not something everyone would feel comfortable taking. Some people would be too proud or too, you know, embarrassed to accept that assistance even though they need it and could really benefit from it. And, you know, another example would be the other day I was really sick, actually, and my boyfriend took really good care of me. And that was kind of uncomfortable for me at times. In fact, it was very uncomfortable because I certainly would rather feel like my boyfriend sees me as like an empowered goddess, which I hope and think he still does. But it was definitely not my best moment. Like, you know, no one wants their man to see them like that. But at the same time, you know, by letting him be there for me, even though I at times resisted and apologized and felt awkward about it, I still let him, and I did my best to, you know, feel good about it, and I think I do. And that is so important. That's so important, because if I hadn't let him take care of me, then that would have been hurtful to him. That would have made him feel like we're not there, like I don't trust him, like I don't want him around, like I care more about his perception of me than just him being with me in a loving way in that moment where I really did need support because I wasn't feeling well. So that's just another example. But when you think about it like that, you know, when someone asks you to do something for them, that is a bid for connection. And conversely, when someone offers to do something for you, that is a bid for connection. They're asking to be in relationship with you, or they're asking to deepen the relationship that you two already have. And so be very careful about how you handle those kinds of situations, because, you know, if you do care about this person as much as you might struggle with being able to receive, it is hurtful to them if you say no. And conversely, you know, don't be shy about offering of yourself if you have the resources to give, which again, if you don't, obviously exercise boundaries. That's what Six of Pentacles teaches. It's all about balance and knowing yourself, knowing where you are, and having that dialogue with yourself before you extend an offer and making sure your intentions are clear and clean and in alignment with integrity and dignity. But if they are, then absolutely deepen the relationship, deepen the connection. So that's what this card is all about. So I really want you to think now about how the Six of Pentacles can teach you right now, this week, or whenever you're listening to this, because I really do believe that you will hear this at the perfect time for you. How can the Six of Pentacles help you to increase your relationship skills and your relational intelligence? And this isn't about shame or blame, because literally, like, the Six of Pentacles, and honestly, this is true of all the tarot cards, like, you never just master this lesson to such an extent that you're never going to see this card again, right? Like, if you're living, if you're having a human experience, all of the tarot cards are always going to be relevant to you. We're never just done with death. We're never just done with the devil. We're never just done with Six of Pentacles until we die. But if we're alive, we're always moving in and out of the cards. And certainly, more so even than others, will we always be moving in and out of the Six of Pentacles, because we're never masters at relating. And even the people with the PhDs, like Brené Brown and Terry Cole and Esther Perel, you know, do you think that they don't sometimes slip into old destructive behavioral patterns? Do you think they sometimes don't feel discomfort and have to battle that when they receive a compliment? Like, these are lifelong kind of practices, right? Like, just keeping our relationships clean and really infusing them with intention and taking responsibility for all of the transactions and the correspondences that we enter into. It's really, really important. And this could look so different. Like, honestly, I always say with these tarot immersions that all the tarot cards really will engage with us differently, because we have such different relationships to the elements, right? Like I said with the Nine of Wands, that card's kind of all about like learning to kind of take care of yourself in a way that like you can be creative and be abundant in the world, but also protect yourself and not burn out. But that's different for everyone, because we all have different thresholds for creativity. We all work in different ways. Some people like to work in bursts, while other people really can't do that. They really need to protect and preserve their energies because they're more builders. And partly astrology, by the way, very effectively explains the fundamental differences between all of us as people. And it certainly like indicates why some suits and some elements are more awkward for some of us than others. But the Six of Pentacles is very uniquely kind of a card that is always going to mean something different when we pull it. And not only is it going to be like a card that will show up differently for me than you, but it will show up differently for you next year than it does this year, because our relational intelligence is always changing. It's always progressing. And we all have such unique vulnerabilities and insecurities and struggles that are essentially founded in our family of origin stuff, our attachment style, and all of these other factors that make us who we are relationally. And that's not our destiny. And that's the point of the tarot, more largely, but more micro, that's the point of the Six of Pentacles. The Six of Pentacles is here to help us to decide how we want to relate to others and to really sort of take responsibility and approach our relationships and all of our day-to-day engagements in a much more empowered and intentional way than maybe we previously had been. So for you, embodying the Six of Pentacles could look like changing your business hours and making yourself a little less available to your clients. It could be asking for what you want in bed with a lover and telling them how to please you. That could be an awkward conversation, but it's worth it. Another example would be if you have to say no to an invitation that you really wish you could say yes to, but you know that you just don't want to accept it. That would be another example. So I really want you to think about how you can embody the Six of Pentacles this week for yourself. It doesn't have to be in a massive way. Maybe it's as simple two is just like stating a boundary to a stranger. Maybe someone asks you out and you say no. It doesn't have to be like you leave a relationship or anything crazy. But I really do want you to think about your giving and receiving threshold, your input and output in your relationships, how you're functioning, how you're relating, and more importantly, how you can clean that up and where you can bring a little more intention to your relational style. So that's it. That's it. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. It was kind of spontaneous, honestly. I am getting together with my man a little bit later, but I had a little bit of extra time, so thought I would jump on. I've been wanting to do this episode for a while, so hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. And again, I'm just going to remind you to subscribe to my weekly newsletter if you haven't done that already. It's a really good way to stay in touch throughout the week, and especially if you love tarot, there's a lot of fun tarot conversation happening there. So please do subscribe to that. I will post the link in the description below. And then I also want to really encourage you to send me your questions. I really love that this is such an open community and I get so many beautiful emails and questions from you all every day. And I look forward to reading my email. So please send me any questions that you might have. Lately, I've been on a little bit of a tarot kick. We've been talking a lot about whether like cultivating a tarot practice or specific cards that you might have questions about or other tarot traditions or rituals that are confusing to you. But honestly, I'm so open to astrology questions. I'm open to anything really relating to modern witchcraft or spell work, manifesting, law of attraction, energy work, crystal healing, living with intention. Like, we really do cover everything here. So please feel free to just send me your questions. I always like feedback too. I'm very responsive to any sort of commentary you may have. So please get a hold of me. I would love to hear from you. And I really hope that this episode has helped you. I hope that you have a new understanding of and respect for the Six of Pentacles, as it can help you in your relationships and life. And I will talk to you again very soon. Be well and take care until then.